Chapter 2, Called to the Battle. Our place in the forefront, of all who claim to be numbered among the Friends of Temperance, Seventh-day Adventists should stand in the front ranks. On the subject of temperance, they should be in advance of all other people. While intemperance has its open, avowed supporters, shall not we who claim to honor temperance come to the front and show ourselves firm on the side of temperance, striving for a crown of immortal life, and not giving the least influence to this terrible evil, intemperance? I feel distressed as I look upon our people and know that they are holding very loosely the temperance question. We should be at the head in the temperance reform. Not a matter of jest. Many make the subject of temperance a matter of jest. They claim that the Lord does not concern himself with such minor matters as our eating and drinking. But if the Lord had no care for these things, he would not have revealed himself to the wife of Manoah, giving her definite instructions, and twice enjoining upon her to beware lest she disregard them. Is not this sufficient evidence that he does care for these things? A part of the third angel's message, every true reform has its place in the work of the third angel's message. Especially does the temperance reform demand our attention and support. Shall there not be among us as a people a revival of the temperance work? Why are we not putting forth much more decided efforts to oppose the liquor traffic, which is ruining the souls of men, and is causing violence and crime of every description? With the great light that God has entrusted to us, we should be in the forefront of every true reform. Earnest continual efforts, intemperance still continues its ravages. Iniquity in every form stands like a mighty barrier to prevent the progress of truth and righteousness. Social wrongs, born of ignorance and vice, are still causing untold misery, and casting their baleful shadow upon both the church and the world. Depravity among the youth is increasing instead of decreasing. Nothing but earnest, continual effort will avail to remove this desolating curse. The conflict with interest and appetite, with evil habits and unholy passions, will be fierce and deadly. Only those who shall move from principle can gain the victory in this warfare. God works through his church. If men, and women as well, are to be thus beguiled, will not the Lord work through his church, impressing his people to do their duty to these deceived victims? By many, liquor has been regarded as the only solace in trouble. This need not be if God's people seized the opportunities offered them. If their eyes were not blinded by selfishness, they would see the work waiting to be done. They would be sent by God to do the work he would have had them do in the beginning of their experience, when their souls were filled with joy and gladness because their sins had been pardoned. A weapon more effective than the axe, God wants us to stand where we can warn the people. He desires us to take up the temperance question. By wrong habits of eating and drinking, men are destroying what power they have for thought and intelligence. We do not need to take an axe and break into their saloons. We have a stronger weapon than this, the Word of the Living God. That will cleave its way through the hellish shadow which Satan seeks to cast athwart their pathway. God is mighty and powerful. He will speak to their hearts. We have seen him doing this. Youth to join in staying the evil. There is no class of persons capable of accomplishing more in the warfare against intemperance than our God-fearing youth. In this age, the young men in our cities should unite as an army, firmly and decidedly to set themselves against every form of selfish, health-destroying indulgence. What a power they might be for good! How many they might save from becoming demoralized in the halls and gardens fitted up with music and other attractions to allure the youth! The young men and young women who claim to believe the truth for this time can please Jesus only by uniting in an effort to meet the evils that have, with seductive influence, crept in upon society. They should do all they can to stay the tide of intemperance now spreading with demoralizing power over the land. Realizing that intemperance has open, avowed supporters, Those who honor God take their position firmly against this tide of evil by which both men and women are being swiftly carried to perdition. Called to the holy war against appetite and lust, are our young men prepared to lift their voices in the cause of temperance and show its bearing upon Christianity? Will they engage in the holy war against appetite and lust? Our artificial civilization encourages evils which are destroying sound principles. And the Lord is at the door. Where are the men who will go forth to the work, fully trusting in God, ready to do and to dare? God calls, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." To follow God's instruction, we must begin to labor on the subject of temperance. We must take this matter up in the way that the Lord has often presented to me should be done. Called to join our temperance society, temperance societies, and clubs have been formed among those who make no profession of the truth, while our people, although far ahead of every other denomination in the land in principle and practical temperance, have been slow to organize into temperance societies, and thus have failed to exert the influence they otherwise might. From the light God has given me, every member among us should sign the pledge and be connected with the Temperance Association. Every church member to work, let those who have their Bibles and who believe the Word of God become active temperance workers, who will now seek to advance the work of our Redeemer. Let every church member work in right lines. We want everyone to be a temperance worker. Power of example. By our example and personal effort, we may be the means of saving many souls from the degradation of intemperance, crime, and death. Need of men like Daniel. There is need now of men like Daniel, men who have the self-denial and the courage to be radical temperance reformers. Let every Christian see that his example and his influence are on the side of reform. Let ministers of the gospel be faithful in instructing and warning the people. And let all remember that our happiness in two worlds depends upon the right improvement of one.